Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. We have some callers in the queue, and perhaps we'll get to our discussion today. Perhaps not. Who knows? It's a mystery. But we would love it if you followed us here on Blog Talk Radio or on our other pages on Facebook and on Twitter, and I should put a link to our radio show on our pages so we can get others to call. Anyway, those links can be found on our Blog Talk Radio profile, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. The call in number 914-338-0164. We have a caller from 786 and then a caller from 919. Those are the callers currently in queue. You both get a reading, so stay in the queue. 919-786 is on the air. Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. We have to turn you up here. Good morning. What's your name?
Luz. L-U-Z.
Luz. Okay.
Yes.
And where are you calling from? Is this?
I'm calling from Miami.
I thought it was Florida. 786. Miami.
Yes.
Luz from Miami.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Luz. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. And do you guys give suggestions, readings?
First time calling. So, yes, we do give readings. And what's your question? We got to get your birth date, too, but we'll get the question first.
Yes, finances, work, related to work. Would
okay.
Is there any changes coming my way, or would I be stuck in this job?
Okay. What's your birth date?
Oh, it's April
7, 1978. 36, 9. Okay. So just quickly, because you haven't called our show before, Luz. You don't know how we work, so we want to just get some. Born in April. You're 42 years old.
42, yes.
So you would have had a change in 2014. What happened in 2014? Just real quick, can you remember? You at 36 years old.
Yeah, I got pregnant, I got pregnant with my daughter, and I had agreed to marry her father.
You had a what?
I had agreed to marry him, her father.
Oh, you had agreed to marry her father. Are you still together?
No. I am awaiting divorce, and has been a process of going on 3 years.
Okay.
Over
3 years. So you're in the process of a divorce over 3 years. And when's your next change?
45.
So you have a ways to go. Three years ago.
Your master number is 9, Luz. And so 36 is your karmic number. That's divisible by 9. At 39, you essentially got divorced. At 36, you had your baby. You got married. 3 years later, you got divorced, and now in 3 years, you're going to be having another change, but you are 3 years beyond 39. So it seems like changes go on with you every three years, which means that you're probably going to be leaving your job and doing something new.
Yeah, who around you works in the healthcare industry? Anybody in your family or your friends?
I do. I work in I have worked in behavioral health, and I work at a homeless shelter right now.
Okay. All right. So you don't like your job.
I don't like the person that my boss. She's very kind, but the person that is her right hand that I have to be in constant contact with, he is just, he's just extremely stressful for me to work with.
It's unfortunate because this is the job in the homeless shelter?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The CEO hired me, you know, she values my input, but the COO, which is the one that manages all the operations, he's always trying to put me down, invalidate me, or make me feel inadequate. He's not a good communicator.
Do you, other than him, do you like your job? Other than him?
Other than him, I do my job to the best of my abilities.
And
I'm learning
like
new things.
Enjoy it? Do you enjoy it?
I enjoy it. It's a job, and I just paid my bill. I wish I could be doing something that I'm happy to wake up to every morning. But unfortunately, a job is a job. I mean,
you're leaving.
Well, do you have a degree? Are you a behavioral specialist? What are you?
I have two graduate degrees, one in business administration and one in psychology. So
They're both bachelor's?
Master's degrees. And I try to change from being a clinician, because counseling people directly was giving me anxiety, building up anxiety in me, and I was always very frustrated. So I took on changing careers, and I did the MBA, and then so I'm on a more administrative type of thing, and I enjoy helping people. I just, some of the personalities that I work with are extremely draining to me, especially this gentleman. He's very draining,
How long have you been working at this particular this location you are now? How long have you been working?
Since September of last year?
Yeah, I thought about a year and a half. So basically, we're getting close. Okay. So here's a prediction. You're going to be getting a new job about 20 miles from where you're at. It just feels that way. Okay. How far are you now from your job?
Like 11, 12 miles.
Okay, you may have to travel a little bit more, but the pay will be probably equivalent. I don't know what your comfortable salary is, but whether it's right or wrong, don't worry about it, but I'm seeing around 80,000 figure.
That's exactly where I was.
Is that above or below your salary?
I was thinking 70 to 80.
That's above my salary, but that's close to what I was making in the hospital. That would be great. That would be like right where you would say that I'm worth, you know.
Okay, so you're comfortable and you have experience close to 80,000 in salary. Okay, yeah. So are there hospital settings that where you could have administrative work within 20 miles, about 20 miles away?
Yes, there are, and I have continued to apply, but it's so difficult because my specialty is in behavioral health, and most of the hospitals, they want a nursing degree, and I don't have that. And you know, so.
Well,
so
if you want to go specifically, I get it, but don't worry about what they want.
But does she, I thought she wanted to go into administration.
Yeah. Do you want to go into administration more? Okay, so reapply for administration. Don't even consider anything in the nursing field. Say you're just going, you have your MBA, you have experience, and you're looking for administrative work. Even if you've done it before, don't worry. After this reading, we're going to try to put better luck in your life, okay?
Yeah, because if you are, yeah, you don't need a nursing degree in administration, I wouldn't imagine.
I don't know.
I mean...
Maybe not.
Why? I mean, I know of people that are.
She's got a master's in psychology.
Yeah.
Were your parents divorced? Were your parents, Luce, were your parents divorced?
Yes.
Yeah, and were you far closer to your mother than your father?
Well, my mother immigrated to this country when I was 7, so I stayed back in my country until I was 13, and then I migrated to this country, and then they divorced. And so I continued living with my mother, and then my father kind of detached.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So you have karma. Okay, Luce, you have karma, not good karma with men, not so great. So this guy at work is giving you trouble, and he may be a little bit bigoted. He may be bigot.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
So forget him. Your life is short. You know, life is short. You don't need to work under a bigot. And I know we could try to make a relationship, try to work there or get him fired with energy or something. But I don't think that's too much work. Just leave. You're going to get administrative work in a hospital.
She doesn't like the job that much anyway. That's what...
And you're not built to be a psychologist. Having anxiety over treating people, you're not built for that. So forget that. You're going to go into administrative work. I think it's going to be in a hospital about 20 miles away, and your salary will be close to $80,000 or eventually get there.
That's good. That's good. I would love that.
Do you get alimony or anything or shots? Well, obviously, you get child support.
Well, that's the thing. My ex-husband, when I started the divorce, I was working at the hospital, and I was making, you know, like $75,000, and he wanted me to pay him. So, So that's the only thing, you know, that worries me, comfortable.
So you're concerned that if you make around that salary, you're going to have to pay him alimony?
Child support.
Aren't you taking care of, who's taking care of the kids? Is it divided equally or?
Well, in the state of Florida, unfortunately, unless you have committed something egregious, the law will divide the child's time 50-50.
So it's divided.
Okay, so you got a kid. You may have to put up with that. Don't let that get in the way of your journey. So if you have to spend a little money and do that, so what? That's what you'll do. Why am I? Where's this episode about three kids or three siblings? Do you have two other siblings, or do you have more than one child?
I have only one child. I have two half brothers.
Two half brothers.
But I have no relationship with them. They're in another country.
There's three. It's you and the two half brothers.
No, it's a good reading. We're feeling good expectations for you. Okay.
Okay.
Keep in touch with us. If you want, you can follow us.
Yeah,
you can follow us
on
if you
Facebook.
Want,
yeah.
No problem there.
Yeah, we have a page on Facebook and connected. Let us know how things progress and if, you know, where you apply, give us a call back. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you. And regarding the divorce, I mean, do you see any closure coming up or do I need to continue being patient?
You started the divorce process 3 years ago.
Yeah, over 3 years, June 15th, 2017.
Yeah, I think it's going to wrap up. I would say probably early 2021. But what I don't understand is why they'd make you pay support if you have divided custody.
Because I was making more than him.
How much more? How much more than him were you making?
Well, back then I was making like $25,000 more than him. And, you know, right now I am almost at the same level where he's at. If I find a better job, which I want to, I will have to pay him.
Wow.
Most likely.
Well, you might have to pay, you know, you have a child, that's your karma, that's your energy. You may have to pay more, but you have to dance in what
probably
you
feel
is going
to be a
better
life
for
you. It's probably
not
going to be
that
much more.
Don't worry about that.
So you move forward with my career. Don't worry about that.
Don't worry.
No.
Don't worry. And, you know, keep putting yourself out there. And
You have anxiety issues. You know, life is short, Luce. Get rid of that. Just move forward. Go, find that hospital job. If you have to pay a little bit more, you're going to be happier anyways.
Okay. The way you're thinking. Thank you. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care.
Thank you. Bye. You too. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Okay. Area code 919 is our next, and then 860. Follows.
Hello, this is Kay.
Hi there.
Hi, Kay.
Hi.
Hey.
How are you guys? It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. How have you been?
Things are going well. I've had some aha moments and just released a lot of stuff that I was trying to hold on and fighting for, and realize, you know, that was energy that could be used in other areas, which leads into my question today.
All right.
As you guys know, you have been so helpful and so wonderful, you know, advising toward the job. And I've finally, there have been some major changes. The manager finally quit, but it just completely went a little haywire. And in that process, I realized it wasn't a job that her role was not something I really, really wanted to do. And
oh, really?
I'm grateful for that. Yeah, I'm because it truly is very political. And I guess I'll just put it this way. The manager, I got shifted to my mentor, and my manager, when we were talking one day, her actual words were, I disagreed with him one day, and oh my God, it was hell to pay. And so I just learned to just shut my mouth and go with everything. And I thought, wow, okay. If I had been in that role, I would have to be that same attitude.
Right.
And so I came to a level of peace with it and realized, okay, I got everything out of this job that I really, really needed, which opened the door because one of my clients from the very start had been trying desperately to convince me he could use you here. And so I finally applied for what I think could be the perfect opportunity. And I'm just wondering, what does Spirit say about this one?
Okay. When did you apply for this job?
Last week.
Right? Last week. Okay. And what, can you give us a little bit of detail? Is it similar to your...
It's so funny. Yes. You know, I work with the state and I work with the insurance. Well, this particular job is with one of my clients, with Anthem, and it is director of vendor fraud compliance. So basically it's making sure that there's no fraudulent behavior or issues in the administration of the contract. And what I do now is contract management. It's kind of parallel.
So very closely related.
Yes. Just being on the client side versus the sponsor side.
Okay. Well, in this job, do you have more involvement with, is this the job that you're applying for more administrative and less hands-on?
Yes.
Because remember, we had this.
Exactly.
We had another caller that is in a similar field to you, as she calls our show regular, very similar energy. But she wants to open her own, I think, business. And I couldn't remember if it was you or her that wanted to do that. But you don't want to open your own, or you don't. Okay. So that was
not in this area. Not in this area. If I did, it would be a side business, but not in this.
Okay.
In healthcare. No.
Okay, not in healthcare.
Mm-mm.
I mean, she's going through a change, and she actually, it's interesting, Luz, our previous caller, who's still listening, same karmic and master number, 369.
Yeah.
Different birthdays in the year, of course, but they both have that 11 factor going on.
Well, you know, according to your master number in your cycle, you're supposed to be changing now. You've gone through six cycles of your master number, and six is a predominant number on your higher side of the year. And sometimes what happens is we do switch roles. We're representing the client. We're representing the individual. We're representing the corporation. We switch back and forth. It gives us an idea. What you're supposed to take along with you is a compassion for your former role. You rule and you advise and you evaluate with a justified manner. Yes, you're maybe employed to represent the corporation and you do your job, but there's got to be a human element there that you have to keep involved in the aspect of prompting an influence that's most predominantly fair and humane. So you don't want to get into a new category and end up getting karma by hurting the individual.
Right.
You want to make sure you've done your job fairly.
Yes.
But that's what's going to come up, Kay. I think you're going to get a new position.
New position there.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful. And it's so amazing, Ken, that you say that, because that is one thing that I have to say has been that sticker for me. I see how, and again, I work in government, so I know things are very political. However, I understand that you have to be compassionate, and I have been on both sides. I've been in different parts of my career. I've been the sponsor. I've been the client, so back and forth. And this opportunity has shown me, as I always tell them, you know, we can get a lot more participation with honey than with vinegar. And some of the tones that are taken, it's like, that's not necessary. And all of my clients, I have three different high Kaiser, Anthem, Blue Cross Blue Shield, and United Healthcare. Those are my clients. And they absolutely constantly say, I am that breath of fresh air. I'm flexible. I have that calming, because sometimes the meetings are like, we pay you to do this and we want it done that way. And I understand that. But if they understand more of a partnership versus a dictatorship, it flows so much easier. And I started realizing, okay, this is not necessarily the appropriate way to handle things. And that just solidifies what you just said, solidifies what I've been thinking. So thank you. Thank you so much for that.
The only question that I have is whether, if you're in this department at Anthem Blue Cross, if there's going to be pressure for you to go after people, there's a quota, you know, because now you're on this end of being the cop. You're the cop. So it's not, it's a different role.
Yes, I understand. Yeah, that's my fear. Well, I'm going to say my fear. That's something I've experienced, because my background is in legal. And I've always said, when it comes to any business, I don't care if it's nonprofit, government, whatever, there are certain areas that tend to be the quote-unquote bad people. That's legal, compliance, and HR. People cannot deal with those, because those are, like you said, the cops. So I'm used to that thinking,
So I know I have to readjust my process, my thought process, because, again, I believe if I'm stern but understanding, I hope that is enough. The one thing that I did question, if moving to this new company, would I have to work with client that I'm, well, what is now the sponsor? And as big as Anthem is, there's so many different divisions. It doesn't necessarily mean right. I would end up working back with where I am. So that's a good thing.
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
And how's everything going with your relationship?
Oh, it's wonderful. Thank you so much, you guys. Oh, my God. I just know that we're going to be moving together soon.
Great.
I was torn about renewing or purchasing where I am. And it's just like, spirit just kept aligning. And it's like, okay, you keep praying. You keep asking. I'm sending you the canoe. But yet you keep waiting for the recruit.
Yeah.
Okay, what else do you need? So, yeah. It's just
so that's
wonderful.
Great.
It's,
good.
Yes, thank you so much. You guys have, when I tell you, you guys are a blessing to my life, I truly, truly mean that, and I'm grateful.
Thank you so much, Kay. It's really, it means a lot to us. And you let us know, like, if you get an interview with this company, call us. When they contact you.
Yes, okay.
Okay,
great.
So we can
thank
move forward
so
in that process.
Appreciate.
Okay.
Okay, great.
Take care.
I thank you. Okay.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, we have 860. And this
Hello.
Is... Hi, Amy.
It's Amla.
Oh, Amla. Why did I call you Amy? Because you do.
That was my nickname. That's why it was Amy, like for years, and then.
Okay, so you now. Well, now you're going by Amla, but you always went by Amy on our show before. Okay.
It was
so
a nickname. It was a nickname. Yep. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So how? My birthday is coming up. It's actually 5 weeks from today. It's 12/16/73.
12/16/73.
What's going on is It's interesting since, well, not interesting, so to speak. Since August, it's been like my Mars is in return. I have Mars in Aries, and so it's in retrograde until this Friday. And then it returns January 1st, happens to be the first of the year. So it's just been, bottom line, it's like snow has been slapping me sideways since August. It's like everything is in my face, karmic stuff. It's boiling over, and people are triggering me. This is not me. It's just not me. I don't know what the heck's going on.
And you're
going to
be 47. 47 in December.
Yeah.
But you sound tense.
I don't know what to say. I just feel like spirit. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead. No. Go ahead.
No, I just think that spirit's definitely guiding me to, like, this is all karmic. I know it. This is like the last piece of it because I could feel it so strongly. My Mars return, it was 30 years ago. 30 years ago is when I was diagnosed with my blindness.
Well, that's
so it's 30 years later, and it goes direct, and it's all supposedly, astrology-wise, supposed to be really good stuff coming in, literally the first of the year. So I'm just basically just everything like just dumping out the garbage, the junk. Does that make, I know it logically, but is it easy on the physical plane? No. It's just been, people have been, example, just one quick example. I have three themes in my life that's constant.
Three.
Being ignored, not feeling seen, not feeling heard because of the blindness thing. So bottom line, what happened was that I needed a ride. It was in my town. And this woman purposely withheld information. I could feel it and sense it from her. For me to go on this rant, basically I went on a rant for no reason. All she needed to say was the person in charge had an emergency. She failed to do so. The communication was totally off the wagon. I went off the wagon. I had a rant because it was frustrating even to get there in the first place. Just the whole, it's just, it's insane. It's insane.
Well, what, you know, so, the interesting thing is, Amla, you said a couple things in code. First of all, 30 years, she's 30 years beyond her diagnosis. And 30 years is your karmic number. So, and you're saying, I'm feeling a very heavy weight of karma. And
yeah.
30 years, so 30, you're 30 years beyond your diagnosis. I think that's more to do with what's going on than the astrology part, personally.
Okay.
Okay. Neil might have a different opinion. But also, you said there's three themes in your life. Three is your master number, where you feel, what is it, not seen, not heard, or and what else? What's the third?
Being ignored. Ignorance. Being ignored.
Yes. Being ignored.
Yeah.
So, boy.
It's tough. It's really tough. You know what happens is that I become the scapegoat. When I'm speaking my truth, people are like a deer in headlights. They don't know what to do with me. And I, you know what? Here's the thing. The theme of extremes has been my life, too, is the fact the polarity of I was mousy now and, like, surrendered. And so how did that, like Dr. Phil would say, how's that going for you? Then I became this armor lady and shut down everybody. So I went from one extreme to the other. Now I'm speaking my truth. I know when to walk away, but I know when to speak up. And yesterday, even though it was bubbling, I knew logically speaking this is not going to go well. Something in me was like, no, they need to hear what is actually going on with you, that this is a difficulty, that this is not something that, you know, going shopping for the day. This is a consistent issue with me of getting rides, trying to find public transportation to get there, and yet I was denied again in my face saying, you know what, no, we can't help you, not telling me that the person in charge was in an emergency. I wouldn't have gone on a crazy rant yesterday with any of this if she just told me and communicated saying, hey, she had an emergency. And I would have walked away. But I feel like I'm fighting for my rights. That's where I'm at. It's like I'm just constantly in a way, because no one's going to defend or protect the blind lady, in air quotes. I got to speak up for me. And that is, you know, it's my birthright.
Maybe that's one of your missions in so far that the, you know, you are blind and you are have an intellect and you have a voice. And so your voice is commanding, not just for yourself, but for others in your predicament. So maybe the universe has given you this role to fight the waves, to get something established. In that regard, Amy, even though you may be frustrated, take pleasure in the fact that there is a fire in your goal. There's a meaning for it. And that's justifiable. You see, some people are complacent. They don't have much issue in their life. Their lives are comfort. But when they die, they go, what did I really do? What did I really change? You're here with the opportunity to change. So even though it's frustrating, you don't have to change the ocean. You just have some waves to fight. And you know, you look at it that way and you go, you know what? Every time I speak, I'm representing many people like me.
And she wrote a book. So part of that is about your whole experience being blind and your diagnosis.
Yeah.
And so how is that going as far as being able to be a spokesperson for others through that? You know, go ahead.
That's a great question. You know, it's people who are very surprised, people who don't know me, like my mom actually sold the book to her physical therapist. And she was just amazed and in awe. Like she just told my mom, like complimented me yesterday. And it was just made me feel like, and it's funny because that's exactly what happened with my whole rant happened yesterday. I'm like, all right, there is a purpose for you, Amlet. I have to remember that. And I actually opened my own book again to remember who I am and what is the purpose of this. I'm not just the blind lady. I'm more than that. It doesn't define me. It is only a part of me, and I know my true purpose. And so how is it going? It's overwhelmingly amazing to find people coming in like, wow, I did not know you went through that. And it's just three things about my book that people have said. It's raw, it's real. Raw, real, and honest. again. And then the other thing is that the fact that it's heartfelt. I did not deny my feelings. I wanted people to emotionally experience what I experienced while I was experiencing it. And then I moved on to the insight and the wisdom piece of the chapter. So I'm really, really humbled by this experience. I'm on my third book now. It hopefully will come out January, February, or whatever it is. It's an inspirational book. So it's more just wisdom. I don't have to back it up with a story. The blind story is out. It's done. Now it's more about the wisdom and the insights that I've gained, even including the last 2 days, with what happened. How am I supposed to move forward when people, their roadblocks, their experiences, their boulders in the road, what are you going to do with that? That's my purpose. And I'm living proof of it because it's every day is a struggle. It's not just like, okay, this happened a week ago. So,
well, you have three major senses that God has spared you, and that is your mind, your ears, and your voice.
That's
so
right.
You take those elements, that pyramid of energy. You know, my first impact with people who are blind occurred when I was around 11, when I saw the Helen Keller story with Patty Duke. But it was based on the life of Helen Keller, who was not only blind, but mute and deaf. I mean, for her to accomplish what she did under her backwards poverty situation, and to say for the first word water and understand what it was, not to mention Ann Sullivan's job to teach her, and to go through all that misery with her, that had a great impact on me. It was called The Miracle Worker. It was basically a play then a movie, but based on her life. And we know where Helen Keller
wasn't
went.
Wasn't it a book first?
It was a play.
Well, yeah, I read it.
But
before I saw it.
But, you know, and she became a great educator and thinker. I mean, and remarkable.
Yeah.
So you follow through with that, Emma, and just know that you're given on this planet a great opportunity to say something important. And as far as it being ignored, you're not ignored. You're on your third book, and you have a voice and you have a mind. Don't even say you're ever ignored again. Don't even use that word. Say you're listening to. Change the environment around by using a vocabulary that defies, I'm ignored. I'm ignored. Don't say it.
Right.
Because they're just reinforcing, obviously, what you don't want.
Yeah.
But, you know, the other thing I wanted to say, Amla, is that you feel singled out, but believe me, everybody has their struggles. So you have your own experience being blind and going through the world and dealing with the roadblocks that affect you as a blind person. But believe me, I mean, everyone has their own frustrations and experiences. So you're not alone. I mean, you probably feel somewhat isolated in your experience, and everybody really has challenges that they go through in life.
Yeah,
I understand that, but you know, it's interesting. That's actually in my book. I actually wrote about that one paragraph about, like, when people say I'm not alone, and I know I'm not alone. I'm not the only blind person on this planet. But you know, the other side of the coin, just food for thought. Think of the pandemic and COVID. A doctor comes up to a patient and says, you have tested positive for COVID. But then he says, but you're not the only one. It's their experience. It kind of, for me, the person going through it feels like it's watered down. Like, but I matter. Like, I have COVID. Like, don't I matter too? I know how many people have passed or who have gotten it. But it's their experience. And to diminish it, they don't mean to. But it feels diluted when you say, well, you're not the only one. I know I'm not the only one. I know I'm not the only one going blind. I know I'm not the only one facing whatever I've faced. It's still, that's what my voice is for. It still needs to be said and addressed and expressed, eloquently. And I have poise. I have dignity and respect for myself. No matter what I've said in the book, I've toned it down because nobody wants to hear a rant. They want to hear what's in it for them. There's a Finding Courage Through Change chapter. What do you do with the change? And this book was finished in 2019. It's very much relatable in this year, of course, with what do you do with unexpected change. So, that's my little.
The other thing I want to mention is you and I are the same karmic number and master number. And at the age you were diagnosed being blind, I had a very severe car accident. So we have, there's a karmic connection between us. And I understand.
Wow.
I had a head injury. And people don't understand when you have a head injury, what the healing process is. Because, I mean, I was obviously injured in other areas. But once those injuries healed and I was still on a process of healing a head injury, which I was in a coma. So it takes time for your brain to heal. And of course I have migrains, which I had prior, but anyway, I can relate to what you're saying. Definitely.
Yeah.
But I've also transcended it, and it's a different situation because I haven't been impacted. Like, I didn't lose my sight or my ability to walk in the accident. So I'm still, I'm still able to move about the world freely. And your change involved something much more limiting. But I still can relate to you.
Montauk here, to change the visual presentation of your interior environment, see yourself addressing figures that listen to you. Change the visual look inside your brain so that you present in a cinematic way, so to speak, a different visual in your interior.
Yes, you're right on. And I have to change within me to change my perception of the world as well. And it's a work in progress. It's never over, but it's a work in progress again. And I do get back up again. I do. I will, and I have. So, that's a faith piece, yes.
Do you want to tell the listeners the name of your book and how to buy it?
Oh, sure. Thank you for that, Neil. The name of the book is called EYE, I with a View. It's on my website now. So my second book is on there too. It's collaborative. It's a healing book. My website is AMLA Speaks, SPEAKS.com. So everything about me is on there. Yeah, I just developed that this year, with the pandemic. I've come a long way with branding myself. So, everything to know about me is on umlaspeaks.com. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Well, hopefully some of our listeners will take advantage of that and buy your book.
Thank you so much. Thank you so very much for this. It really helps for understanding ears. I could feel it from you. You guys get it. And I appreciate that. So
Welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome.
God bless.
Thank you.
Okay. Happy birthday.
All right.
Coming up. Bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, we have another caller, 312 area code. Hi.
Hi, this is Karen from Chicago.
Oh, hey, Karen. Hi.
Hello. I'm just kind of wondering what you see coming up for me. Again, things are a little slow.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, they're a little slow, but they're moving along. I'm going to be starting a project at the end of this week. And that'll go for another couple weeks. So, but I am looking. I did apply for a transportation job.
Okay.
So that's good. Actually, I've got the alerts going, and I did find one in transport with trucks and in the trucking transport industry. So that's good. I did start that up looking. So I'm headed that way.
Okay. Wait a second. She's a 34 set. Is she 25-7 or 34-7? 331, 71.
71, so. Yes.
7, 17. 25, 7. She's a 25-7. So I actually have been thinking about you, Karen.
Oh.
And I have. And, you know, what I have been pondering in my mind is your master number and the fact that not only are you a 7, but your 7 is broken up by 331 in your month and day, and then it's realized in your year. You've got a solid 7 in your year. So you as a 7 have to establish a spiritual essence on this planet in your journey. So I wanted to ask you, what is it that you're doing on a spiritual level in your life? Because we usually talk about your job, about your relationship, things like that. So what is the spiritual content of Karen?
Existence. I was saying, like, it sounds kind of silly, but the rosary, like I was saying the rosary, like every day I was doing that for 54 days and I kind of stopped just because I got so busy. I usually stay up before I work I work at home. So I usually do that in the morning. And I kind of take that time just to like to do that, kind of like get myself together and then start my day work wise.
Well, that's a
ritual.
Kind of a ritual out of respect and an awareness. What is it you really want? Tell me, you know, so I can get grasp this. What is it you're looking for today to ask us a direct question? What is it you're looking for?
I'm going to try to go back into that industry, the trucking, transportation and direction. Do you see me getting any success in that area?
I think we did see think, didn't we say go back into trucking and transportation?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're 49, your master number 7, that's 7 times 7.
7.
You have a combination of 31 in your day and then 3 and 1 in your first and last numbers, which is a nice set of energy. Yeah, I do see you going. See, what's going to happen is that what I see is a company that needs experience. They need somebody experienced because they're just getting fed up with the help they've been getting and people leaving and taking advantage of you know, unemployment. So they're looking for someone who's experienced and they're willing to now get somebody stable. So that's what I see. There's a in the time zone that you are working in this company, the person, there's a female or a male with the letter G, as in Georgia or Gloria or George, but there's a letter G going on with the person that and this person that you'll eventually meet, they'll talk about their dog. They love their dog. And so that's just a heads up. But what the visions establish is a credible premise that you're going to be getting a job. Industry, just questioning, is this industry, is it reasonable to say one can get about a $90,000 salary, or am I way off?
No, if like starting, people that go into that industry, doesn't matter what type of level, they always start off at 40 to 45. So if you go up to management, you can hit the 70. 70 was maybe 10 years ago, but now I talk to people and they're doing the same job I had and they're making between 80 and 85. So maybe if they really want you, they'll pay 90. So that is correct.
Okay. Okay, so let's go with that, Karen. I would rather approach this on behalf of Kristen and I in terms of looking at this in a positive way. Sometimes in a psychic reading, you get enough feel for something that then the person in charge just says, well, let's let it happen. And then maybe energy will assist in the journey. Have you had any problems with a vehicle lately? Any car problems?
No, I don't drive, but I did. Yeah, I did. I went to a location on the wrong day and I got stranded. So I had to walk. Yeah, I had to walk so many blocks to get out of the high traffic area so the Uber or the car share service that I take could take me back home. And I didn't have to pay the high level. I had to walk like 3 blocks. Yeah.
Well, okay.
Three blocks. That's not that bad.
No. I was so mad, but I couldn't. The amount of money I had to walk so I could qualify to get back home.
It doesn't matter. You know, what's important here is just the visual validation that is transferred over to the ultimate visual that we're trying to establish for you. So let's see how far we get with it.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, on the back to my original premise of the spirit, because I really feel like there's more. I think that if you enhanced that part of your life beyond just like reciting a rosary, you know, think about what you do for service for others. I don't know if you volunteer, if there's any time in your life to do things like that. I think that it's going to help you along your path to getting a job because you've been struggling. I mean, getting a full-time job, you've been calling us for a long time, a year and a half maybe, and you're still not there. So there's things that you can do. I know there's been clearing stuff that she's done as far as things with her father.
In reciting the rosary, look at the content of the rosary and do some research beyond just the rosary itself. Research the words in the rosary.
Okay.
And get to know a little bit more of the depth of the text.
Our Father, 10 Hail Marys.
Well, you know, I've never done a rosary or anything, but I would say is that, you know, it's more than face value. You have to understand the depth of what the energy is. And if it means that it's a form of feminine comfort established under the jurisdiction of God or Christ, look at that feminine aspect of your energy.
Because it involves Mary. Yeah. And God. Well, there's a whole Trinity aspect too.
Well,
so.
Let's not blow in the wind over this.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about.
No. Well, she probably does. She's born in 71. Peter, Paul, and Mary, anyway, is the group.
Yeah.
Okay. No, she doesn't. No. But anyways, but if you had a hammer, you wouldn't.
It's so bad. She's doesn't know. Anyway, that's a song they did. Okay. Enough with the music jokes. But anyway, hopefully that's enough information or nourishment today for you to go forward, Karen, and keep in touch with us.
So find a dragon and
stop it. Puff the magic dragon. We're saying Puff the magic dragon too. Anyway, the song about lemon tree. But okay.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you.
You know, and it's funny because Mary is part of Peter and Paul, which
is a Trinity.
Yeah, and there's a trend. They're all out of the Bible.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Okay.
So are we done?
We have 5 minutes. Gosh, are you?
Oh.
Gosh.
I said done.
Eager to be finished. Paul. You know, we're really not going to have time to get into the chosen discussion today. We're going to talk about the parts of a reading. Perhaps we can get to that on Friday. But I don't know, in summation of perhaps the calls we had today.
Well, just briefly, I mean, you have parts of speech. What, noun, verb, adjective, adverb, prepositional phrases.
Conjunctions.
Conjunctions, compounds. You know, the parts of a reading is, first of all, you get the voice of the person, or you get some energy from the person. What do you do with that? I mean, it all depends on if you're doing an individual reading or you're doing a group reading
or doing, like,
a lecture.
Or doing readings on the radio, which are much different than a private reading because the time limit.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have time really to get the birth date by divination, which usually in a or the master number element of the birth date.
Yeah.
Usually you do that in a private reading on the radio. We normally ask for the birth date.
And to me, I think there are two power sources. One is the power source of the reader themselves, or him or herself, being able to be psychic or intuitive or spiritual or whatever it may be, and then their connection with the outer realm, you know, the spirits and the guides and the cosmic energies and all that kind of thing, that help to compile a direct statement of some sort. But of course, you know, you got to have a brain first.
Like, if you only had a brain.
Like the scarecrow. You got to have a brain, and you got to be able to use it in a way that adapts to whoever it is you're speaking to, so that you just, I mean, you can give general statements in a reading and make generalizations, and sometimes direct generalizations can hit to the core of the person, you know, like Billy Graham addressing tens of thousands of people, and everyone hears his words individually, or at that time, not that there were other speakers, Martin Luther King, Abraham Lincoln, what we're saying is that you can generalize and still be specific, because everyone is touched by the arrangement of words into thoughts, into paragraphs, into phrases, into beliefs, into statements that come from seemingly a higher source. Whenever we are inspired by somebody, we're just not looking at the person. We're looking at what they're channeling as higher energy, as higher consciousness and awareness. And that's part of being psychic. You're bringing in something of a higher source of language.
A higher source of language, but it's translated to, it's translated. It's a vibration that is being received. And then it's translated into English. So, I mean, when we get into the idea of channeling, you know, there are different ways that people channel spirit and present channeling. So I'm a little, they all have their own method, but really if you're channeling, it doesn't have to be babble or it can be presented in a cohesive form that is, you know, we're talking about parts of speech that's organized thought, not of, you know.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, it's got to be more than just flowery language babbling that doesn't really.
I equate a lot of the channeling that goes on to speaking in tongues, you know, which is that comes from a more apostolic Christian form. And I don't really ascribe to the authenticity of that type of speech, to be honest.
Yeah, I whenever I speak, I try not to use my tongue. and I end up babbling.
No. You know what I'm saying, though.
I mean, but to speak in tongues,
it's dramatic. It's overly dramatic. No, I know
what it means. I know what it means. Well,
Trump's spiritual advisor just spoke in tongues, apparently, about his presidency and how he shouldn't concede the election.
Well, the idea that the speaking in tongues requires an interpreter. An interpreter has to interpret what's spoken in tongues. Otherwise, we don't know what it is. Even if it's some dead Babylonian language that none of us are going to know.
Let me close. If someone is channeling spirit, there's going to be content. You said flowery language. There's going to be specific information that pertains to the individual in the reading in order to help them move forward in their journey, get through their karma, and move into a higher transcendent form of energy.
Yeah.
It's going to be specific to that person, and it's not going to be general. So if you're hearing general information about the planet and how it's ascending, you can be sure that that's not a real channel. But anyway, that's, I think, enough for today. We can get more into this on Friday.
We can get more into it on Friday. And today is our 859th show that we've done together.
God, we
859 shows we've done.
Wow. If anyone has insomnia.
Yeah. You want to do a, what do you call it, a marathon?
Yeah. Get on our, I don't think all the shows upload to Apple Music or Apple Podcasts, unfortunately. They're not all available. I think they started a certain year and go forward from there.
Well, I think, isn't this our eighth? How many years
have
we been in?
We're in our eighth year. Moving.
Our eighth year?
Eighth year.
Yeah. In our eighth year.
Eighth year. Since 2012. We're in the midst of the eighth year. But all the episodes are available on Blog Talk Radio, so you can go back into the archives and listen to the.
Yeah, we started.
I never posted our show on our site either. I forgot. As we got involved, you know, multitasking. I guess I'm not too good at it. Anyway, I hope we speak with you on Friday, everyone. Thanks. Bye-bye.